Well, hello everybody, and welcome to Turning Towards Life. This is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and we're having a little bit of hysterics here as we're beginning. And it's been so good, Lizzie, to sit with you and just prepare for this week. And it's very good to be with all of you. Thank you for those of you who are joining us, for joining us whenever, wherever you are. And we know that people are all over the world and all through time as well. Who knows when you might be listening to this. So you're so welcome to be with us. We're doing this a little bit off our usual schedule, which is probably why we're feeling a little bit hysterical, because instead of our regular Sunday morning practice, it's Wednesday afternoon, and I think we don't know who we are or what our names are or anything like that. But the reason for that is this weekend we began another year of our Third Space professional coaching course. And what a wonder that was. And so fantastic to be doing that with you, Lizzie, as well, and with all the other members of our Third Space faculty. And so I'm feeling a great debt of debt's not the right word, an enormous amount of gratitude to the 18 people who signed up and then turned up for this year's program. It feels very special to be doing this conversation in the wake of everything we did last weekend. And Lizzie, thank you for bringing again, a wonderful source for us to dive into together.
Thank you, Justin. So everyone listening, just to let you in on why it's funny, is because we have this thing where whoever's chosen the source, the other one says hello. And for ages, I didn't know what the formula was. I didn't know what the algorithm, as I call it, was. So Justin, you say you're going first. I just think, oh, how does he know? How does he know? As if it was some big mystery. It's just making me laugh that it's just whoever chooses the thing doesn't say hello.
It's very deep, Lizzie.
It's so deep. The reasoning is
Very
so
deep.
deep, and it's also very intellectual and very hard to grasp, clearly for
Yeah,
me.
very complicated.
Oh dear. Anyway, this is a very sweet, gorgeous, deep poem by Morgan Lalm, and it's called In the Open. And thank you, Morgan, for writing this. And letting this be in the world so that we could have it as a source for turning towards life. So it's called In the Open. And if you haven't been with us before here, what happens is we have a source and then we start talking about it and then we see what happens between us. So here we go, live and unrehearsed as usual, Justin. We don't know what's going to happen and we have faith in each other and that we're going to have coherence between us somehow. So here we go, In the Open. No matter the strength of shyness, no matter how tempting it is to keep myself a secret. Oh, how comfort's infestation spreads while it urges me to do nothing. There is no room to hide. In a world I'm made for, out in the open, there is no room to hide. I'm supposed to be loved out in the open.
Lizzie. This is In the Open by Morgan Lum. No matter the strength of shyness, no matter how tempting it is to keep myself a secret, oh, how comfort's infestation spreads whilst it urges me to do nothing. There is no room to hide. In a world I am made for, out in the open, there is no room to hide. I am supposed to be loved out in the open.
Thanks, Justin. So, Justin, this source spoke to me because it feels to me like it's speaking of this dance when something is calling to us and it calls on us to be more visible or it calls on us to be more central or in the spotlight somehow. And how lots of things, lots of parts, come to protect us from not doing that or from doing that. And what it means to step forth into something that is ours, that's like mine to do in the world, which might be open, out in the open, in relationship to other people somehow. And we suddenly feel like, oh, I can't hide anymore. There's a ripeness that comes in spite of the procrastination or in spite of the staying on the sofa with the duvet on. There's something that kind of manifests inside that means it's time. It's time that I show myself. It's time that I bring my gift. It's time that I find my way to say the thing I've always wanted to say, or that is just brand new to me to say that needs to be said right now. But that there's a moment when an apple falls from a tree because it's got all of the goodness that it needs from the tree and it's ready and ripe to for the eating. And I feel like this poem really speaks of that and how many of us need something to speak to that, to acknowledge the moment and to take that step in the context of the ripeness that's now here, to do the thing that's mine to do, or to make the move that's mine to make, or to speak the words that are mine to speak, and to actually have it be real in the world rather than only on the inside of me as a possibility.
So good hearing all the ways, all the things that come first for you in reading this, Lizzie, because I found myself starting in a different place, which is the thing that happens before we're able to bring ourselves out into the open. And I was talking, in fact, just this morning to someone, and we were exploring together the path of our hiding. And I think one of the things that we were talking about, something actually we were talking about over this last weekend on the start of the program, Lizzie, was the way in which we're born as pure heart. I think we're born as pure openness, actually, would be the way of saying that babies are pure openness. And then we meet the world and we find out that our openness inevitably, and I don't mean this as judgment of anything or anyone, inevitably that not all of our openness has a place. That there almost certainly will not be people who can welcome all of our openness with all of the openness it takes to welcome our openness, because they have had to put away some of their openness previously, because that's how it goes. And how early it is that we start to imagine the opposite of Morgan's poem. We were talking about being together, we're talking about being three and then being seven and having sort of a sense of, oh, in the place where I grew, this and this and this wasn't welcome, and I had to put it away and then create a kind of cover story for it in order to belong. It was very clear that this and that it's not just the putting it away part. We also then make a cover story to cover what we've put away, and then what we've put away, because it hurts us so much to cut parts of ourselves off, we then bury the shame and the wounded feeling of putting away the very thing that we put away, and then we have to live maybe for 50 years keeping the story going, and then we start maybe it happens after 5 years or 10 years, but it could be 50 years, we start to feel the call of Morgan's words, which is, I find this so moving. I'm supposed to be loved out in the open. It really struck me that because of the ways that we have to put so much of ourselves away, and because we get so little help bringing it back into the open, we do make the mistake, many of us, to imagine that the only way to get loved is to be loved in hiding. In other words, to be loved because I'm hiding this, and this, and this, and this, and you'll only love me, Lizzie, if I bring you this bit and the cover story that keeps it going. But I can't be loved if I bring this bit, and this bit. And then Morgan comes and sort of smashes it all to pieces and says, actually, there's no room to hide. And you and I have talked about this before, that turns out that pretty much everything that we are hiding is in one way in plain view, often in shadowy ways. Because we're hiding it, but it's often very visible to other people. And then we're supposed to be loved. It is good to be loved. It is possible to be loved given the right conditions. It is, what's the word? our heritage if we can find a way to be loved out in the open for the whole thing, the whole wide open hearts, pure heart that we were when we came in. So that's my beginning.
So, Justin, I'm kind of marrying up the moment of readiness with all of the things that might get in the way in the readiness moment as well. Like the stuff you're talking about, for me, where my mind goes is, oh, I'm ready to release this into the world, or this part of me. I'm ready to admit that I am this, or I'm ready to say that these are my words. And then all of those ways that we've kind of hidden ourselves and obscured ourselves, given to us by the ones whose openness wasn't as open as it needed to be, all of those parts, all those people even come and have something to say. And maybe it's not safe to become visible. Maybe it's not safe for this part of me to be visible in the world. And how crucial it is to be in conversation about that and bring that to the light, and the light of relationship and the light of mutual holding, so that those voices, those parts, those people, those elements that would come and say, no, not now, not ever, stay hiding, stay small, is safer here or is better here, they get to be not given the power to stop us, that they get to be heard and acknowledged as things that need to be put to the side in order for me to bring this. And of course, we might have complex relationships with those parts as well, because they might be parental or powerful in other ways in our systems. And so I'm thinking of all the ways that that stuff needs to be acknowledged in order that we can bring ourselves to the openness to be loved out in the open like this. And also how brave it is. It's so brave to say, this is who I am and this is what's mine. And my mother might be listening, or my teacher might see me. And I'm just really amazed at the courage that it takes, but also the kind of relationships it takes to be able to step through and forth into this realm of visibility or of being loved in the open like this. Because the world is so diverse and so different in all of its elements, in terms of people and what kind of reception we might get. And of course, the world isn't all friendly either, obviously. And so I feel like it really matters to be in community when we have a voice to bring, when we have a message or a part that wants to be in the world, so that that part that wants to be welcomed, that wants to be loved out in the open, can find its own tribe or something. It can find its own validity that doesn't necessarily belong to what has gone before. So I'm feeling really curious about those ideas that we have, those things we want to do, those parts of us that we want to publish in the world, as it were, and what kind of nurturing and support that they need in order to be able to flourish and to be there and to be loved and to find the ones that love them.
I'm thinking quite a lot. So you're talking about what it takes to be one who will love others out into the open, and it's really tricky because if you think about, as I'm thinking about romantic partners, friends, colleagues, even. That very often where we start off, when we're caught in the pattern that I was talking about before, where we've necessarily put stuff away and we're carrying the hurt and shame of our own exiling parts of ourselves and then keeping up a cover story, we very often seek out people who will somehow either reinforce or compensate for that very act of exiling, and often not in straightforward ways. Like, I might become your friend, Lizzie, because I can see that you'll carry on the pattern that I've learned to do well. You know, I go, well, you'll be my friend because I keep my emotions in check. But I may also seek you out because I'm desperate for you to be the opposite. But I haven't acknowledged yet that that's what's going on for me, and you won't know because I haven't spoken to you about it. So we can get caught in those, and because you'll have your own thing, probably the people I find, I'll mesh with the patterns in some way that other people have, which is their own version of it. So we're all like interlocking with one another. It's such an act of kindness when we are in relationship with somebody else to find it in ourselves to say, I'm here even when you bring that which you imagine I don't want in you. And in order to do that, we also have to be doing the work ourselves, which means having other people often who can help us do so. It's a big chain. But I know, because I know this from knowing you, and I know this from knowing other people who I love and care about who are loving and bold and courageous, and that we really can make invitations to one another. We can say to one another, I'm right here. I'll be right here when you're angry with me. I'll be right here when we disagree. I'll be right here when you feel sad. I'll be right here when. And it's really important to do that because so much of the time, this dance of hiddenness is going on underneath the level of language. We don't even know. I don't even know that I'm hiding from you what I think I'm hiding from you, and that I feel like I want to be around you because you keep the pattern going, or maybe because I feel like you. I can feel the possibility that I might be able to unhide myself with you. The more you can tell me, the more you can make it explicit that you're some, well, I'll put it on me, the more I can make it explicit that I will welcome you, Lizzie, when you disagree with me, when you're, the more freedom we afford one another. But and I really, as we're talking, I'm really feeling really moved by Morgan's words that we're supposed to be loved out in the open. We really are supposed to. It's like our heritage is to be loved. And I wonder if I might put a word in here to say that we're supposed to be loved back out into the open. The part of our job with one another, if we actually love and care for one another, is to be the ones who seek out the goodness, the basic aliveness that's been hidden away in others, and make ourselves affordances for it, make ourselves welcomes for it. Because how much the better the world is, Lizzie, not just for me, but when you can bring your courage and your truthfulness and your sensitivity and your creativity and your, I could go on, when all of that has a home. Because I'm playing my part in making a home, it's not just down to you.
Yeah, I'm feeling really moved, Justin, by all the times I can think of the people who've spotted many times before I have a something that wants to be born in me that is not visible yet, or that I haven't understood or encountered yet, and how extraordinary it is to be with ones who can see beyond the dance I'm trying to make them dance by being the way that I am. And how, yeah, it's so easy to stay in the dance and recruit everybody into the dance and then long to not be in the dance somewhere in us. And then someone sees that longing and goes, there's something else here, and I'm going to invite you into it. And I'm going to, or that I've seen it myself. And I've tried to tell somebody, and they've said, "Okay, yeah, like, tell me more." They want to support my unfolding in places that I haven't been able to show before, or something. And I think it is so beautiful when that happens. And I too am really moved by this. I'm supposed to be loved out in the open, like all of me has a home in the open. Like, imagine a world where that's true. All of me has a home in the open. And there are people who are interested in the parts of me that aren't yet in the open. And we can be like that with each other. It also got me thinking, Justin, about letting people say no who are really close to us. I think that's the same realms. So when we are people to whom people often say yes, what's going on there? There probably should be quite an equal amount of yeses and nos or something. But to really let somebody say no to me and what kind of a world that makes, to really let someone say, no, I don't want to do that when I've asked them, or someone says a real proper yes. It's like my dance, if my dance is normally what I say goes and you say yes to me, and then someone says no, am I willing to let them not do the dance that I need them, want them to do with this part, particular part of me? Am I willing to encounter their no and reorganize myself? Or is the relationship over? When I've been recruiting you to say yes to me all these years, and suddenly you start saying no, what, maybe the relationship was based on you saying yes to me all the time. Maybe that was the given between us. And now you're starting to say, no, I can't be with you. Or I can say, there's a new something coming here. I wonder what this is. I wonder what kind of relationship this makes if I let you do a different dance than we've always done together. And then I let me become someone to whom you've said no, and I'm still here with you.
Sorry, I'm laughing because it's so excellently complex as well. So if our friendship is based upon me saying yes to you and you having your way, I'm just want to start with where you just left off, which is as long as I continue to only be in the friendship in a way that says yes, two things are happening that I can see. So one is I'm leaving, probably leaving huge parts of myself out. All the parts of me that do actually want to say no to the thing you want, I've got my own heart and my own mind and my. So first of all, I'm not. You're not loving me out in the open, and I'm not letting you love me out in the open. But equally, to the extent that I continue, I'm actually doing the same to you because I'm playing along with your version of, you can only be my friend. You can only be in the world if things go your way and you get a yes. So what about all the parts of you that would be present if I said no, and then we had to work out how to be in a relationship together? It goes both ways. So as long as we're locked in the thing. But the other thing that it really struck me from something you said, and I don't remember exactly the words you used a minute ago, which is that what's so extraordinary about this is that very often when we set up a dynamic like the one that you've just described, and probably with a bit of reflection, we could all find those dynamics in many, many relationships. And those archetypes may have been set up in our family of origin, for example. So we've got sort of long history with them. We often create conditions for ourselves by doing that, where we start to feel how much it costs us to do that. Like, and then we resent this very circumstance that we've made. So if I just flip it round and I speak as the one who's in control, who wants you to do what I want. For a while, that might feel excellent, like the world revolves around me. But after a while, I'm probably going to resent you and myself for this whole dynamic, which starts to feel shallow and brittle and predictable and repetitive and whatever. And we don't realize that our resentment, that sort of sense of something's being done to me, actually has a huge part in something I'm doing. That would start to be resolved if I were willing to love myself out into the open too, to be more transparent with you and to be more flexible with you. That's not just for you, it's also for me. And one of the things it does, one of the things I think that those kind of feelings of resentment and stuckness show us is that in some ways, because we're not loving ourselves and other people out into the open, we can feel that the aliveness that would otherwise flow through us is being throttled in some way. It's being constrained. And we live with that for so long and we start to feel the shallowness of it. And actually, we can go on for years like that because we're afraid of, boy, is the cost high.
Well, it's so amazing, isn't it, how strong these patterns can be as well, Justin, like how attached we are to things, relationships being particular ways, and how defensive we can get, how closed we can be to different ways. How judgmental. I know, like, all the ways I'm when things call to be different, there's so many parts that need attending to that go, no, that can't work, because essentially I'm afraid, and this is going to get out of control, and then everything becomes uncertain and unpinnable downable. So how am I going to manage this? I can feel that in myself, and yet even in the face of all that, it's possible that I cultivate an openness, a curiosity, a kind of a like a discipline of curiosity, maybe. Like when something comes towards me that's unfamiliar, or someone's dancing a different kind of dance, can I see whether I can open to it? Can I see whether I can not dance the dance I've always danced? And maybe I can't for 100 times, but maybe I can for one time, and I could see the what a different world that's possible if I just one time didn't dance the dance that we've made together. Well, I had zero idea, Justin, that Morgan's poem would take us into these realms. And I'm really grateful for it. And it's like a beautiful, I don't know, some kind of unraveling gem or something I feel about it. So I really want to thank Morgan for writing this and for bringing us this incredible little poem. And Justin, thank you for being this kind of openness too, and in a way turning towards life as a us being loved in the open and loving each other in the open, and it's tender territory. And I want to appreciate us as well for having conversations in the open, which was a very conscious move to be in the open. And I've never quite considered us that brave, but now I'm thinking about it, it's quite brave. So I want to acknowledge that and say thank you for your braveness and my braveness and our wish to be in the world in this open kind of way. So thank you, everybody, for being with us. And we'll be back next week with a source chosen by Justin, which means I'm saying hello, I think.
Fantastic. Thank you, Lizzie. Thank you, everyone. Bye
Thanks,
bye.
everyone.